Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to yet another episode of the Philly Mick and Hump Show. I am your host, the Philly Mick.
And I'm the Philly Hump.
Welcome, Philadelphia. As today is the day we've all been waiting for, the start of Eagles training camp.
It's been a long thank God. Football's finally here.
It's been a long offseason. Been an up and down off season, but all that matters is that it's here, and training camp has begun. Games will start very shortly. In fact, next Sunday,
Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, next Sunday, Hall of Fame game. So we got a week until the first preseason game. Which, let's be honest, preseason's quite boring. But that first one, the first Eagles, and then the first overall, is always exciting because you know it's just,
oh yeah.
Started.
Yeah, I'll be dialed in for every play of that. I think it's Vikings Dolphins at the Hall of Fame game. I will be dialed in for every play of that game.
Yeah,
and it's no doubt going to be a slop fest because the Hall of Fame game normally is. Yeah, because normally those teams are the first two teams to report to camp, but still they're not ready to play a game yet.
No,
and it's going to be sloppy, and then, you know, obviously I'll be very excited on August 16th, the Sunday, day after my birthday. The Eagles will play their first preseason game against the Indianapolis Colts.
Yep.
And unusual because it's a Sunday at 1. I mean, that's normal for regular season, but preseasons are normally, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you know. The Eagles are Sunday afternoon.
Well, maybe they said, let's do it at a normal time.
Well, I like it because it simulates everything as far as the preparation for a regular game. You know, not only as far as the week getting ready, but then that Sunday, especially for the rookies, you know, that Sunday game day, getting ready, doing the preparation that you would do for a normal Sunday football game.
Yeah, no, that definitely helps to simulate that, sure, for some of the rooks. But, you know, either way, you know, going into training camp, you know, we had a lot of questions, a lot of position battles. One battle that is certainly decided is the second and third corner spot, as Boykin just got traded for a fifth rounder to the Steelers.
Yeah, it's conditional. I think if he plays 60% of the snaps on defense, which last year the Steelers' nickel corner did play 60% of the snaps.
Very true. So hopefully, yes, hopefully he does become a fourth rounder. But, you know, and I understand the fact that Boykin probably didn't really want to be here considering he thought he had the talent to start, and he's probably right. It's really his size that has been holding him back a little bit, especially with Chip Kelly.
But yeah.
And, you know, this gives him an opportunity to try to win a starting role, especially in a Pittsburgh defensive backfield that's, you know, in transition, you know, with the retirement of, you know, Ike Taylor and Polamalu. You know, there's going to be some fresh faces in that back four. So,
well, yeah, and I think it was a spot where the Eagles felt like they had a lot of depth. They have some guys who are going to be battling. They had 9 guys as of last night before the trade in their at corner, and you're only going to keep, you know, say 5. So that's 4 guys that we're going to let go. Now, you know, it's probably going to be 3 guys that are going to be let go.
Yeah,
it's going to be some interesting battles.
I would have rather have Boykin in with us top 5, because that gives you a nice top 3. So,
well, I felt like you'd have had 4 good corners, then you'd have had, especially if Eric Rowe starts the year at corner instead of safety, because there's the debate on whether or not, you know, Thurman's going to be the starting safety, or if you're going to have Eric Rowe back there with Malcolm Jenkins. And the other one is going to be in the mix for that cornerback battle along with Nolan Carroll. And so you probably had 4 good corners then with Boykin.
The way I see it is Nolan Carroll
is going to be your starting cornerback, and Thurman is going to be your starting safety.
And so you think now Eric Rowe is probably going to be your nickel corner.
More than likely.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
And I'm fine with that. I mean, that's not bad. I would have liked to have maybe gotten a little more for Boykin than conditional late round pick, mid to late round pick. But he was a guy. He had some good years here. He led the team in interceptions in 2013. And, it kind of dropped off some last year, didn't have as good a year. And, of course, the defense faltered so much. Everybody in that secondary last year had a tough second half. Even Malcolm Jenkins had a tough second half. He had a really good first half, but you're going to look to see if he can put together a full season as a good, playing well. There's a lot of interesting battles in camp, and I think that secondary is the one big thing I'm keeping my eye on. If I had to pick out the top three things, secondary, offensive line, and, of course, the health of Sam Bradford.
Yeah, those are pretty much I think somewhere in the mix there, you just have to just kind of put a general, Chip Kelly watch as, God only knows what he'll do next. And he's come out and said that, Kendricks will not be traded. He's told us.
Yeah, he said pen that in.
Put it in pen. That he won't be traded. So, we'll see. I mean, you can say, anything that you want. I mean that, anybody believes you.
Well, sure. I mean, if somebody comes up and offers, hey, 2 first-round picks for Michael Kendricks, see you, bye. That's why I don't like to say it's not going to happen because you never know. I mean, if a great offer comes around, they'd be stupid not to take it just because, I said Michael Kendricks wouldn't be traded.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then, great, you got 2 first-round picks, but you also just lost your credibility.
Exactly. I mean, and that's why I don't think it's smart to say those kinds of things.
Yeah, but I don't blame him just because,
he wanted to dispel any rumors.
And every damn media member is sitting there going, hey, what's up with Kendricks? What's up with Kendricks? What's up with Kendricks? What's up with Kendricks? And I'm like, Jesus, enough already. He's not getting traded. Stop bugging me about it.
If we can somehow get Chip Kelly on the show, first question, will Michael Kendricks be traded?
Well, that is exactly when I dumped you off the line.
Well, I'm also make sure to be at your house, and we'll do the show together then when we have Chip Kelly calling.
Right, that's fine. I could always just kick you out of the house then.
This is a great time of year. Football season's coming. Today is the last Sunday until the second week in February without football.
Yeah.
So everybody be excited. This is a big time of year. And I know I say it a lot like around draft time that this is bigger to me than Christmas. I woke up today, I was so excited, I couldn't wait to turn on NFL Network and see everybody talking. I can't see Brian Baldinger on there, talking about the Eagles, talking about Sam Bradford.
Yep.
And, full participant. He's been medically cleared. It was full go. And, I heard the question asked, how much should Sam Bradford play in the preseason? And I know what my answer would be is if he's full go, he's full go. And obviously, if there's any setbacks, then you adjust from there. But I think right now it should be, Sam Bradford plays with all the ones next week or in 2 weeks against Indianapolis, as long as you have the number ones going and, straight on through.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's funny now that we're talking, with the
regarding Brandon Boykins, to bring it back to him, how, you know, his comments on his way out, you know, and it's, I know some people are like, well, obviously, you know, there's obviously some sort of problem if, you know, all these people are saying some things, you know, like.
I think if McCoy doesn't say what he said, Brandon Boykin doesn't say what he said. That's my
very
personal
possible.
Thought.
Very possible. And, you know, you think of other teams, you know, like, we don't hear any of this. If somebody gets cut or somebody gets traded, you don't, you know, they have nice things to say about the organization, they move on. Well, you know, and I think he said something to the fact that he can't relate to, you know, what he can't relate to culture, I think is what he said. And it just, to me, it doesn't scare me as much as it verifies the fact that Chip Kelly wants a certain type of player, a team first, a not a me guy, not somebody who's going to worry about getting his snaps or his carries or his touches or catches. Somebody that's willing to put in the time and to become a team. And
to bring back to Brandon Boykin, I think he was bothered by Boykin constantly saying how he wanted an opportunity to play outside as opposed to just going out there putting in the work. And if you earn the chance to play outside, then you earn it.
Yeah.
And I think Brandon had.
It just means to me that, you know what, while he may have never been considered a locker room cancer or an outspoken person, you know, he certainly has said over the years that, you know, he wants, deserves, you know, to start. And hey, that's, you know, that's fine and all. Everybody, you know, should say that. I don't have a problem with that. It's just obviously that he didn't want to be here. There was a reason why Chip Kelly, you know, got, you know, looked for an offer or was willing to accept an offer. It's because there obviously it wasn't the right fit. And his statements after he left just showed that he obviously didn't get it either. And you know, everybody wants to put race into all this. Well, you know what? Sometimes, you know, for the men again, there's no way for me to have this not sound racist. But sometimes black people are more outspoken than white people. It's, you know, it may be stereotypical. It may be, you know, you can call it racist if you want. I just go by what I see. And, you know, for the most part, not every situation. And
well,
not
there's a segment of the population that, you know, is more the flashy, outspoken, you know, you'd call it, like, louder, you know, than the typical, like, you know, maybe they dress a little louder, they look, like, and again, I don't want to come across as this, but, like, I don't think that's what his problem is. I think his problem is those that have the me-first attitude and not team-first attitude.
Right.
You know, a better approach for Brandon Boykin would have been, hey, you know, I'm more than happy to play nickel, you know, if that's what the team needs. But, hey, you know, coach, you know, if you want to give me a look outside,
yeah,
I think I could help there,
don't
too.
Don't think for one second that I'm, you know, okay with not starting. But if that is my role, that is my role. And
right.
You know, and I'm going to assume that that was never said. You know,
well, it's
like looking
at a guy like Nolan Carroll. I'm sure when Nolan Carroll signed here last year, he wanted the opportunity to start. And for 16 weeks, he didn't get that opportunity here. But he kept it, you know, he kept his nose clean. He kept working, kept putting in the effort, got a chance to start the final week of the season against the Giants, played well. And now he's coming into camp with an opportunity to start, not because he bitched and complained to get that opportunity, but because he put in the work.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference.
Well, you're right. Exactly. It's you know, Chip Kelly doesn't need to hear from, you know, his players necessarily, especially in the media. you know.
I mean, he even said this morning in his press conference that it's disappointing. You know, of course, it bothers him when he hears stuff like that. But he can, you know, he can only control what he can control, and he knows the way he is. And I don't think he's racist. I don't think, you know, people say, well, he didn't cut Riley Cooper after Riley Cooper's incident at the Kenny Chesney concert. See, he has been a model citizen, kept his nose clean, hasn't said anything in the media, has just shown up, does his work. Is he the best wide receiver? No, he's not. But he accentuates positives and does his best to hide the negatives. I mean, that's one of the things a coach does, is you bring out a guy who accentuates his positives. Riley Cooper, good blocker, you know, can make a catch, you know. He's not a deep threat, but he can, you know, go across the middle and make a nice catch, convert a first down. Just go
sure,
do that. He's not a deep threat. Don't run him.
He's a good red zone guy. He can jump up and catch the ball, but, yeah, he's never going to be an all-pro wide receiver. Sure, we know this.
Yeah, but he's the kind of guy who you do need a guy like that on your team, a guy who can go, you know, can go in motion and throw a nice chip block to open up a spot so you can get 3 yards and move the chains on a 3rd and 1.
Yeah.
A guy who's going to go across the middle on, you know, 3rd and 4 and catch that 5-yard slant and take a pop from the safety.
Yeah.
You need those kind of players. That's how you convert. You know, the biggest problem I think the Eagles have had over the past few years has been getting that extra yard. You know, on a 3rd and 1, 3rd and goal from the, you know, getting that yard. And Riley Cooper is a guy who, when used properly, I think can help in that situation, whether it be through a block or through a catch.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that we had mentioned earlier that's going to be something to keep an eye on is the health of Sam Bradford. Well, today, apparently, Sam Bradford has been taking all of the snaps with the first team.
Yeah, and no breaks.
And is ready to go. He is, you know, cleared. He's good. Mark Sanchez took all the reps with the second teamers. So,
yeah, as he
should. Well, exactly. And so if he can.
And I will say, as much as I was a Nick Foles guy, I do think if Bradford's healthy and playing his potential, he's better than Nick Foles.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, it's certainly something, you know, I think every time, you know, we talk about, you know, how are we going to do this yet? Everybody's saying, oh, well, you know, if Bradford's healthy, yeah, we'll do this, and this. Well, yeah, all right. The guy's been more injury prone than not. But you could say that about any NFL team that.
Oh, sure.
Oh,
yeah.
The quarterback's healthy. Then, yeah.
But hey, look, in Denver, Peyton Manning's healthy. I think they can be, you know, win the AFC West and contend for a Super Bowl. In Indianapolis, if they can keep Andrew Luck healthy, which, you know, nothing to suggest that he wouldn't, but if he stays healthy, they can be a Super Bowl team.
Sure. Without him, without them.
Go up and down the league. You know, Russell Wilson in Seattle, if they can keep him healthy, they have a chance to go back. They have a chance to go to their 3rd straight Super Bowl.
Sure. I mean, I think outside of, like, the Cleveland Browns and maybe, like, Texans or, like, the Raiders, yeah, it's pretty much every other team could be, you know, well, the success is 100% based on the health of my quarterback.
Yeah.
And if that quarterback
now, granted,
goes
down, other teams don't have a quarterback on their roster that has missed each of the last 2 seasons. And, I mean, that doesn't make you more prone to injury. That just suggests that your history says that you've had more injuries.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to me, I don't think Sam Bradford's any more likely to get hurt than anybody else.
No, I don't think so.
He got the surgery. He's healed. He took the right time in recovery. This is the appropriate recovery time. Yeah, and So I, in my opinion, I don't think he's any more likely to get hurt than anybody else.
No, I completely agree. And you know what? You know, maybe Bradford was, you know, always meant to get multiple injuries. And you know what? If this was spaced out a little bit more, you know, things would obviously be different. I think the biggest hiccup that people have is the fact that it was pretty much back-to-back. And Bradford got hurt, you know, without even really doing anything. He was just running.
Yeah, on a rollout play.
Right.
Yeah, in the third preseason game.
Yeah, so, you know, it was kind of a freak, you know, second injury to the knee, and yeah, it happened. So let's not freak out. Let's not throw all the eggs in the basket. I think, you know, should Sam Bradford get hurt, I think Mark Sanchez can do a decent enough job. You know, you won us a couple of games last year and, you know, faltered a little bit down the stretch, but, you know, I think
it was also his first year in the system.
Right. And he is a starting caliber type quarterback. And I'm glad it's certainly not the top of the league, but
he's the best backup quarterback in the NFL right now. But he could be I think he's top 30 quarterbacks in the league, absolutely.
Yeah. He should easily be able to start on
At least four or five.
Yeah, I'd say at least five or six. I mean,
you
should be able to
You're
start.
You're telling me he's not better than, say, Brian Hoyer or Ryan Mallett in Houston.
He's starting in Houston. He's starting in Cleveland. He's starting in
you know what I think
Oakland.
Where else I think he would start? In New York with the Jets again.
Yeah, there's that. So,
I'm trying
to think of other teams.
Yeah,
but
no, I understand. You're trying to think of other spots where you could start. I think he'd push Nick Foles in St. Louis.
Yeah, certainly could. I mean, obviously. He did a decent enough job replacing him last year, so, you know, let's...
I'll put you on the spot right now. Now, obviously, both of us would say the Eagles, as far as a team that you think, not a playoff team last year, but could make the playoffs this year. Who's a team, you know, who's one team that you'd say didn't make the playoffs last year and you think has a good chance to make the playoffs this year?
That didn't make the playoffs last year, that could make them this year.
Mm-hmm. Every year, typically, there's like four or five teams that make the playoffs that didn't the year before. I'm asking for one, you think?
That would require me to know exactly who made the playoffs. let's see, it was the Cowboys, it was Green Bay, Seattle, it was...
Carolina, Arizona, and Detroit,
Arizona,
in the NFC.
Detroit. Okay. I think the Saints could qualify, although I think that's more of a less of just kind of a weak division.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was going to say the same thing about Atlanta. I think they could.
Yeah,
that's more
of
a product of a weak division.
Well, that's the thing. Atlanta, not only that, but you know, Atlanta has a very good team. It's just I still haven't figured out why they haven't put it together. They have all the talent. I just don't know why they're not putting that into wins.
Yeah.
So they certainly could be one. Who in the AFC it was the Pats. It was.
Pittsburgh, Baltimore.
Wasn't Cincinnati?
Indianapolis. Was team?
Oh, I thought they were.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to remember now. Some of the AFC playoffs are escaping my memory.
Then Denver.
Denver, yeah. Yeah, I think Cincinnati. Was Cincinnati the other playoff team?
They might have been. Yeah,
I'm trying to remember who that sixth seed was.
The Chiefs definitely didn't make it.
No, Chiefs didn't make it. Chargers didn't make it.
Yeah, wouldn't have been anybody else in the NFC East. It certainly wasn't anybody else in the South. And it certainly wasn't
Houston, I think, had a chance the last week, but didn't, obviously. I think it was Cincinnati.
Well, if that's what we're going with, then I'm going to say, just for pure talent-wise and the fact that they've upgraded their offense slightly, the Chiefs. I think the Dolphins. Certainly could, and the Buffalo Bills. Those are my teams, because I feel like Bills,
every team in the AFC East did.
Yeah, the Bills, I feel, honestly, are going to be either going to be a complete success and they're going to be a total disaster.
Yeah,
I feel like there's no middle ground. Either they're going to go 4-12, or they're going to go like 10-6. So. I mean, they got a good defense.
Yeah, I don't think
they're
getting an 8-8 season from them, because I think either Castle plays well and Buffalo is successful. Again, I think it's going to come down to the quarterback position. Castle and E.J. Manuel. If E.J. Manuel actually gets a chance to come in there and play, I think he is the better of the two, but it's just whether or not he's going to play better.
Sure, absolutely. So, I was going to say, if anybody would like to call in towards the end of the show, our call-in number is 347-989-0699. Got only a few minutes here, probably about three. Certainly, if anybody is on Facebook, join our group page on Facebook, Philly McKenhub Show. Tweet us on the Twitter. The Philly Mick with underscores in between and the Philly Hump with underscores in between. So certainly tweet us there. Email the show at the Philly Mick and Hump Show at gmail.com. You can check us out on blogtalkradio.com. All of our episodes are cataloged there. You can also find us on iTunes. All of our episodes are on there, just through the podcast section. So you can always do that. So, anyway, moving on. Like I said, we've got about 2 minutes left. Now, after all that fun stuff, I think we definitely spoke a lot of Eagles. And we'll break down some of the Phillies moves with the deadline just recently passing the other day. Talk about Cole Hamels, talk about Ben Revere and Alphabot, and maybe some of the future moves with the waiver trade. So, I was going to say, do you have anything to add before we head on into the podcast? It's kind of about 60 seconds, I'd say.
You got 60 seconds? All right, well, I wasn't really going to...
for 60 seconds.
Well, I just, I'm definitely excited to see some of the moves. Philly's going younger, playing a lot better baseball. I know they're losing right now, but going to take 3 out of 4 from Atlanta after sweeping the Cubs last weekend. And, just really happy with the direction of this club right now. I don't think they should keep Ruben's job, but I'm happy with what I'm seeing.
Yes, I completely agree. I think I think Ruben needs to be out of here. I think, if anything, just for a clean slate, just for a new start. Obviously, you never want to trade your best pitcher. I still feel like they should have gotten one of the top two prospects from the Rangers.
Well, yeah.
In Nomar or Gallo, but we'll discuss more of that in the podcast. Thank you for listening, Philadelphia. So for the Philly Mick,
I'm the Philly Hump.
Thanks for listening. See you in the podcast. All right. We are officially on live.
Now I can relax and not be stressed about the show.
Yeah, exactly. Take a load off. So,
I was happy with what we got in return. I would have liked one of the two top prospects from the Rangers. But
I am happy with what they got. Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is they got a catcher, an outfielder, and a pitcher who not only do they all project to a major league level, some of them their ceiling as high as, you know, all-star potential. So, and three out of the four were top 60, obviously depending on who you looked at, but top 60 prospects, in the major leagues as of right now. That's certainly at least good. And, you know, you combine that with J.P. Crawford and the outfielder, Roman something, can't remember his name. And then the fact that you just called up Nola, you have a very fresh face, shortstop. You know, things are certainly trending up. They're starting to get younger. They're starting to get some decent, you know, players in. You know, they really need to strike it rich come draft next season.
They're playing right now. I would like to see them still end up with that number one pick in the draft and
absolutely
just get the
they
best talent.
Winning.
Yeah. They need to just – this is when you just need to stockpile talent. And no matter what it is, whether that number one pick is a guy who's a third baseman, I know we have, Franco, but you can't think about positions right now. You just got to acquire talent.
Yeah, you go with what you have. Like, even if they – because the kid they just drafted last year or this past year was shortstop. And,
put him out in the outfield, Cornelius Randolph.
Yeah, we'll throw him in the outfield. You know, we the simple fact of the matter is if Crawford projects and is as good as we hope, that's your left side of the infield. You know, if you move the Randolph kid to the outfield, combine him with that Nick Williams kid, there's your corner outfielders. You have Nola, you have the pitcher we just got from Texas, that could be all right. You know, that's where I think we really need to start getting better.
And if you can get anything out of Biddle, you know, which I really think should be coming
starting
up.
To give up on,
starting
to
give I know,
up
a lot
on,
of people are giving
Biddle
up
train.
On Biddle.
Yeah, well.
A lot of people are giving up on him. I really would like to see him at this point. He apparently had a good start today, Lehigh. He's been pitching better.
Good for him.
He's been pitching better, and, you know, I would like to see him among the September call-ups. Just give him a look.
Well, maybe. Yeah, at this point, call up the whole damn AAA and see what happens.
Well, hey, yeah, just give him a look.
it'll be interesting to see who they bring up, you know, to go with Nola. And right now,
well, that's
Nola,
the thing. They're
going
to have to put together a rotation, not just one starting pitcher. You know, right now that's. All they have is Aaron Nola and a collection of stiffs. Some of them are borderline major leaguers.
Sure. Although I kind of like that Adam Morgan. I think he's a good 4-5 kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. Sure, but a good, back end of the rotation kind of guy. Yeah, and maybe that's all, Biddle can be, even if, maybe that's his ceiling, and that's fine. We need to find out
fill those roles. And I don't think Nola necessarily is going to be a number one.
I don't think he's going to be a bona fide stud. He's probably the number one. He's the number one right now, just by default, because somebody has to be in that role. But,
right.
Yeah, I think if you, in an ideal situation, Nola would be a nice two or three, and you need an ace out there, which is why if it had worked out to where they couldn't have gotten a good deal for Cole Hamels, I would have been fine with, all right, we're riding with Cole as our ace and Nola as our two.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have been fine with that. And that in the offseason, you bring in, you know, a solid number two starter, and you have a one, good 1-2-3 punch there. You throw in Morgan to be the fourth starter, and you have somebody like Harang or whoever, you know, enter in veteran to become that fourth starter, and you have yourself an actual rotation. So
yeah, I think that could have easily worked. I'm still happy with the idea of just generally getting younger. They need an influx of young talent, and I think as much as I liked Ryan Sandberg, the player, I think that Ryan Sandberg, the manager, was too hard on some of these guys. They had them playing uptight. You've noticed since Sandberg's departure, this team has been playing loose. They've been playing better baseball, more relaxed. Sure. You need somebody who can – it's almost like they need someone who can identify with this generation of baseball players, and Ryan Sandberg just couldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's – really the only logical conclusion. So, it's, you know, it is what it is. You know, but again, I guess they got to stop winning. Nice. But come on, you know, like, make sure you get that last pick here.
You know, the Dodgers are coming in. The Dodgers are playing for playoff spots. You know, after an off day on Monday, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the Dodgers are in town. You know, they dropped 2 out of 3. It's all right.
They'll
let Jimmy come
much.
Back and get, you know, get himself going. Yeah, because he's had a tough year in L.A. And just being a Jimmy fan, I hope he does start putting it together for himself.
Cool.
Don't want to see him end his career the way he's been playing.
Yeah, no, it's you know, it's funny. It's kind of the same way I feel about Cole. You know, while doesn't look like Texas necessarily make the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
You know, they have a ton of injuries. I think they're going to be geared up for next year, especially if they make some moves in the offseason. But you have, you know, you, Darvish.
Yeah, they're already going to pair
Hamels.
Him up with Hugh Darvish. Yeah.
Yeah, that right there is a real nice one, too. Yeah, you have, again, the prospects that we should have had. You know, Gallo and Nomar, they'll be coming up to join the big squad.
Yep.
Yeah, you have, you know, Josh Hamilton's back in Texas, who, you know, again, you hope that he can return to his MVP form. And
if he does that, and, you know, the Texas Rangers can be off and running next year.
Yeah. So, if, you know, the Phillies aren't going to win it, I want to see former Phillies win it.
Yeah.
So I want to see Texas win it next year if that truly is what the deal is.
Yeah, and I've
got a
room with the Dodgers this year just because I want to see Jimmy Rollins win one more.
Yes, I mean, it's really the only realistic chance other than Hamels, which, like I said, I don't think Texas is going to be able to put it together in time. So, but, yeah.
Yeah, like you said, I like the idea of if it's not going to be the Phillies, which clearly it won't be, you know, rooting for former Phillies out there. And you talked about a possible, you know, waiver deal. The Chicago Cubs apparently showed a lot of interest in Chase Utley, who went 2-for-3 today in Lehigh on a rehab assignment.
Yep, talking about
so hopefully he'll be back, and
nice
that could
waiver,
be a potential. That could be a potential deal.
Sure.
And, of course, if Utley ends up with, you know, I'll be rooting for Utley in the Cubbies to make a run at a World Series.
Yeah. No, of course. And, you know, you got to think maybe Frenchie might be somebody who would maybe could get waiver traded. And
yeah, I was surprised there wasn't more interest in him before the waiver wire deals.
Yeah, I think there was, but I just think, you know, maybe just, you know, for whatever reason, things couldn't work out. So, you know, there's definitely some.
Yeah, definitely hope to see that. in the during the waiver wire period.
Yeah.
Well, which is what, 3.5 weeks? Because final rosters are September 1st, right? That's when
right.
you open up and you have the September call offs. So. Yeah, guys have
exactly.
to be on your roster by September 1st in order to be eligible
for the
playoffs. Yeah.
Right, but since we don't really have to worry about that.
Well, right, but like teams like, you know, the Cubs, Dodgers,
right,
or,
well,
you know, anybody else.
Right.
Anybody but the Phillies, they have to worry yep. about it.
Pretty much. I mean, as of right now, the latest, yeah, I'm trying to pull up the standings here. Let's see if I can do that, if it'll let me. Of course, it's not running away.
Because, like, the Phillies,
yeah, but,
Marlins, Braves, what, the Brewers, and
Brewers.
Red Sox, they're about all that's eliminated right now.
Yeah.
Everybody else
yeah.
still has a shot.
Yeah,
I'm sure I'm
that,
leaving
yeah,
out a
absolutely.
Team or two that has been eliminated.
I forget who's at the bottom of the AL Central. Let be
the Indians.
Indians. I know it's not the Royals or the Tigers. That's all I know. I know the right
well,
side
yeah.
had a
or the Twins.
Pretty, yeah. So, but yeah. Either way, they did end up with that first pick. Yeah, that's. Very important that they got that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, granted, I don't know who the hell's coming out or anything like
oh,
that.
No, we won't know anything for a while. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, there's, you know, one can only hope, you know, there's a Bryce Harper, a Bryce Trout, you know.
Yeah, somebody
Strasburg,
who's a
somebody
stud
that,
who you draft number one, and they just breeze through your farm system and earn the big club by, you know, 21 years old.
Yeah. Or similar.
Well, yeah.
But I'd
love
well,
to have a 19-year-old kid playing in the big leagues with us, you know, knocking the stuffing out of the ball.
Shit. Yeah, that would be nice. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But, well, we only got a couple of minutes left in the podcast, and, you know, we try to be as diligent as possible not to get, you know, blog talked, which is what
yeah,
I'm calling
had
it.
That British whore cut us off.
Yeah, yeah. We did not like her.
Mm-mm.
So, well, I want to thank everybody who listened in today.
For all those that download, you know, we want to thank them for downloading. And, you know, if you're listening
yeah.
to this podcast, means you're listening to it, you know, you download later on, and we appreciate that. Next time, you know, we try to post to let people know when the show's going to be on so you can call in, and maybe we
yeah.
can get on a regular time schedule at some point here. I know it's been
yeah,
a challenge,
maybe.
Especially with your playoffs and stuff for softball.
Yeah, it's, yeah, softball's definitely dug into that. But hey,
mm-hmm.
you know, next Sunday I should be free because. No more softball for
yeah,
for a week.
There you go. Yeah, well,
but,
I'll be here and available to be on the air.
So. Then, you know, the next week, you know, I have the All-Star Game and the Home Run Derby that I shall be participating
right.
in. And then the following week, it's fall softball starts.
So basically you have 1 week that you're going to be definitely available to do the show at our regular Sunday time.
You're right. Yes. There's no
okay.
off season for softball.
That's right. The weekend warriors have to keep going.
Yeah, we got to do something. Right? But
yeah.
yeah, so thank you everybody for listening, downloading. We appreciate it. Check us out on iTunes and on Blog